This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Starfall on BFM 89.9, where we cover everything and anything on the business of fashion. And I'm Madeline Chung. Now this week, we discover the traditional art of songket weaving with Sarawakian label Tanoti Crafts as I speak to the co-founder, Jacqueline Fong.
It is a craft that has been with Malaysia for many generations, and it would be a pity if not a single Malaysian would know how to practice this craft at the expense of globalization and automation. So we decided this because we wanted to keep this craft alive.
After that, Emma Chong Johnston, managing editor of Elle Malaysia, goes retro as she talks to us about 50s styled tea dresses.
That was really big in like the early 2000s, and now it's kind of coming back this year. So the same kind of, and it really hasn't changed, the same kind of florals, wrap style, very flowy, very feminine.
But first up, our style maker for this week, Tanoti Crafts. Songket is a prestigious traditional art often passed down through generations. But in recent years, the craft has been waning. With young people opting to move out of the interiors, the number of weavers in Malaysia has been steadily dropping. According to a survey, there were 2,000 weavers in Malaysia in 2004 and is believed to be even lower today. Tanoti Crafts started off as a research workshop funded by the Yayasan Tuanku Nur Zahira, but privatized and became its own company in 2012. They aim to keep the craft of songket weaving alive by training young weavers to carry on the skill to pass on to future generations. Today, Tanoti Crafts has 21 artisans, 19 weavers, and 2 textile designers. Tanoti, which is 100% Sarawakian owned and managed, run mentorship programs to train younger weavers in the craft of songket weaving and produce a range of traditional products, including custom-made pieces. Tanoti also did a show in Paris last year for the Malaysian Fashion Week Global Launch event, showcasing their traditional inspired pieces to positive reception. They will also be at Berlin Ethical Fashion Show this coming July, emphasizing their commitment to ethical fashion. In the studio with me today, Jacqueline Fong talks about their journey to where they are today, as well as their hopes for the future.
Tanoti was actually started from a sense of urgency. We found out that there was a workshop that was set up by the Royal Highness, Her Royal Highness, and we decided that it was a pity if funding for it was going to be discontinued and the workshop will be disbanded. So we decided that we will start a company very quickly and allow the weavers to continue weaving after funding had been discontinued. And we absorbed the weavers and gave them new letters of employment, and they were working seamlessly through.
Have you been involved from the beginning?
Actually, my business partner, Dr. June Ngor, she's associate professor right now at the University of Malaysia Sarawak. She was appointed as consultant for the foundation for this workshop. And she had approached me to tell me about the impending fate of the weavers, and between the both of us, we decided that we should establish a company quickly and assume the weavers as soon as we could.
And what was your main goal for it then?
Well, initially when we started, all we wanted to do was to allow the weavers to continue weaving, to continue practicing this craft. Along the way, our objectives had evolved into something a little bit bigger. What we wanted to do was to ensure that heritage craft in general is allowed to survive.
It's been a while now, quite a few years since you guys started. How many weavers do you have?
We have 20 in our team right now. When we first started in 2012, we had 11. So it's growing steadily. We have weavers that have worked with us and then left because they started families. And as a result, we have a huge alumni outside of Tanoti that have capabilities in weaving and are equipped with new skill. So this is very important, what we're doing. We have weavers who have left us and now are weaving from home, from their villages. And they get to make money
Now, I know that Tano Tea Crafts has a myriad of products, you know, from sampin to songkok to shawls, and the list goes on. And Tano Tea also offers to designers hand weaves for couture. So who are the designers Tano Tea has been working with?
We had worked with designer Misha Sukira for an outfit for Miss Malaysia, I think in 2014. We have worked with Fion Kun, who is with Dato' Jimmy Choo, and we have produced a range of Tanoti Royal, Fion Kun Royal Songket Collection. We have also worked with Liu Ray, the shoe and bag designer, for a couture line for his Eleganza show in Paris.
Now, I know that songket making is a very intricate art, I must say. Can you tell us a bit more about the process?
It's it's a really long process. Anyone who would who wants to be involved in weaving songket will have to commit a lot of time. So an entire sequence of events need to happen before weaving starts. And this pre-weaving exercise starts from raw threads. So with threads, what do you do with them? We dye the threads, we dry the threads, we wind the threads, and then we go through the warping process, and then we roll the threads into a warping board. Then we connect the thread to the loom, and we set up the loom. And then it's ready for weaving. And depending on the patterns, so you may have to set up the patterns on the loom. By the time you start weaving, you would have already spent 2 to 2.5 weeks on the pre-weaving process.
Wow, that's pretty long.
Yes, it's true. And it's a community effort, you know. It's a communal effort. The girls have to do this together. You know, a loom warp is very, very long. It can be up to 9 meters long. So you will need, you know, at least six pairs of hands to set up the loom.
Yeah, which I believe, like, songket weaving, you know, requires a lot of skill. Right? So how do you train your weavers and artisans to make them?
Well, we have to start on the basis that everyone who joins us will not have the skill. And it's true, you know. We don't have young girls who have skill in songket weaving. They join us and we train them. We put them through a mentor-mentee relationship, you know, with the seniors, and then the seniors will impart their knowledge and experience to the trainees. The trainees will learn the entire process entirely by hand, and then they will start weaving their first piece maybe a month into the training, and then they will continue, you know, and depending on their interest and their skill, you know, the quality will show.
So what are some of the programs that you run?
For training, we have a program running right now with Kraft Tangan. Kraft Tangan Malaysia is sponsoring the allowance for training. And we are obviously providing the training. It's a six-month short-term training program. And girls are invited to join us, and they are paid an allowance by Kraft Tangan to learn how to weave songket. This is ongoing. We also have, for visitors, a one-day songket weaving experience. They come and they may have their own pattern, or they may, you know, work with us with our own patterns, but they produce their own piece they can bring home with them. It's a one-day songket weaving experience.
Is there like a particular criteria, I must say, or qualification before becoming a weaver? Or anyone can actually join to be a weaver?
Anyone can join to be a weaver, yeah. The only criteria is that you want to be a weaver. You must display the necessary commitment and discipline. It's not easy sitting on a loom 8 hours a day, producing between 5 and 8 inches of fabric. So you will need some sort of interest to want to be a weaver.
You also offer custom pieces, right?
A lot of our pieces are custom woven, yes.
How different are the requests that you get from for these custom items?
Very diverse. We have requests for artwork, all the way to curtains, to pillowcases, even shirts. And yeah, the... anybody who would be interested in ordering something in fabric form that is tailored to their requirements,
mm-hmm.
would be able to come to us, and then we will be able to do something for them.
Now, you've also been invited to participate in the Berlin Ethical Fashion Show in July. Now, how did this opportunity come around?
We are very, very privileged, actually, to be given this invitation. It started from a collaboration with Goethe Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And Goethe Institute runs a program called Ikat Ikat, a textile residency program, where they invite German designers to come to ASEAN to work with local producers to produce products which cater to the European market.
Mm-hmm.
So this collaboration turned out very successfully. And as a result, Goethe Institute has invited us to display and make presentations at Berlin Fashion Week at the Ethical Fashion Show.
So what will you be showcasing?
We will be showcasing...
Can share.
Very interesting material. A very interesting material, hand-woven by our artisans in Tanoti.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm at liberty to... disclose this right now, but we will make a press release.
Okay.
We will also be showcasing our prototypes which we have developed with our Penan communities. So the Penan communities are forest communities, very remote forest communities of Sarawak, and they have very superior skills in basketry weaving.
Mm.
And together with our collaboration with Goethe Institute designers, we have produce items which are very, very interesting for the European market.
So how important is ethical fashion to Tanoti Crafts?
I think ethical fashion is very important for the world. In a world where, you know, historically a lot of businesses are extractive,
mm-hmm.
and exploitative, it is time that, consumers think about sustainability in fashion and sustainability in retail product.
So what steps do you take to make sure your products, you know, are ethical?
First of all, employment is very interesting, and wages and labor conditions are very critical factors. In fast fashion, so much products get rolled out so quickly, you seem to wonder what conditions are these products being manufactured. So for us, we are fair employers, and it is very important that people who produce are treated fairly and have a certain quality of life and standard of living.
But do you think that, you know, this is where the fashion industry is heading then?
I would think that consumers will start wanting to dictate,
mm-hmm.
what the origins of their apparels are, you know, what they're wearing, what they're carrying. And sooner or later, the retail fashion industry will have to evolve to cater to the consumer's needs.
What about locally? Do you think that, you know, the local fashion scene is focusing enough on ethical fashion?
Oh, I dare not say. It's very new. Eco fashion is very new. Sustainability in fashion is also very new. But there is a movement that is small, but strong,
mm-hmm.
and if more players are in the market, then there will be an increased awareness in the consumer side, for sure.
You are also currently doing a collaboration with Studio Tuberkulov. How did that opportunity come around?
This opportunity was actually a result of our work with Goethe Institute.
Right.
So Franzi and Anna are designers of Studio Tuberkulov, and they signed up for the textile residency program, and we were paired with them in mm-hmm. this Ikat Ikat project.
So when will it be launched?
I wouldn't say it will be launched, but, you know, it will be presented at the Ethical Fashion Show in Berlin.
That must be exciting then.
It's very interesting. There's a lot of planning that is required before we get there, so it's a lot of work for them.
I know that Tanoti's pieces are sold in British India as well, and your own Tanoti house. So have you considered venturing into e-commerce perhaps?
Yes, that will be our next step. So stay tuned.
Roughly, when can we look forward to? Sometime this year?
Hopefully, yeah. Within this year, we should be putting up our products online.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have some e-commerce capabilities.
Now, you debuted the Ternodi Luminescent Collection at the MFW 2016 Global Launch in Paris. Now, was it a different experience designing for runway?
Designing for the runway was an experience, and producing the pieces in time for the show was also an experience. All our pieces that were showcased at the Paris Fashion Week event were made specially for, it was a collection that was made specially for this event.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most challenging time-wise to produce. But most interesting because we came out with pieces which were never before seen as Songket, was never before presented as Songket. So what we did was transpose Songket into modern and exciting designs.
And what was the reception like to your collection in Paris?
It was very good. We had a lot of media attention. Obviously, being an entirely Malaysian product, it gave us a lot of points. And we showcased again the same collection at the Malaysia Fashion Week in KL last year.
Mm-hmm.
The reception also was very good then.
Now, with automation becoming almost ubiquitous in the fashion world, why do you feel it's important to stick to the traditional Songket hand-weaving method?
It is a craft that has been with Malaysia for many generations, and it would be a pity if not a single Malaysian would know how to practice this craft at the expense of globalization and automation. So we decided this because we wanted to keep this craft alive. And because it's handwoven, we cannot be producing in large quantities anyway. So there will be a market, or we believe that there is an existing market that will continue to support such craft.
Are there any other collaborations that you have in mind or you're planning?
Oh, we plan for a lot of collaboration, but we don't know if they will materialize, so I'm not so sure whether we should be disclosing that.
Are we looking at local designers or international designers?
Not so, and not yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we are very open to collaborating with designers. Cross-fertilization is very interesting for us.
So what's next for Ternodi then?
E-commerce, definitely. It's likely that we will move our operations to a new premises, and we hope to continue developing our community initiative and be more impactful with them. We believe that the Penan community is one that requires much more exposure than they have right now.
Now, finally, where can our listeners find you?
We can be found online on www.ternoticrafts.com, but physically our products in the Klang Valley are available at British India, Kita Kita, Studio Bikin, and the pop-up shop, Good Shop, which is a shop for social enterprises. We are also available in Langkawi, in St. Regis Boutique and the Datai Boutique.
The art of Songket weaving is a challenging one to preserve, but Ternodi Crafts are definitely prepared to fight for it one thread at a time. After the break, Emma Chong Johnston, Managing Editor of Elle Malaysia, puts a magnifying glass over the style trend, which is all about retro, femininity, the tea dress. But before that, here's Pray for Serve by The Honeys, played at Tory Burch's Spring Summer 2017 in New York. This is Stylefile, and I'm Madeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Stylefile. Next up, Emma Chong Johnston, Managing Editor of Elle Malaysia, runs us through the vintage, effortlessly feminine style trend, the tea dress. Now, today we are talking about tea dresses. Now, it's the kind of dress, women wore during tea parties in the 1950s, right?
Yes, it's very feminine, quite modest, so very floral. often like kind of like a wrap style with mm-hmm. like stronger shoulders in a knee length or midi length. And yeah, and I think we've recently seen it come back in the 2000s when Kate Moss did that collection for Topshop, which mm-hmm. was, you know, there was this very famous kind of pansy print dress that she did, which was this wrap tea dress, which everyone had. And so that was really big in like the early 2000s. And now it's kind of coming back this year. So the same kind of, and it really hasn't changed, the same kind of florals, wrap style, very flowy, very feminine.
But it's more of a day wear, do you think so?
Yes, yeah, it's definitely more daytime. It's like an easy, you know, it's an easy one piece to wear, just kind of, yeah, it's nice for weekends. It's
day very, weddings, garden
yeah,
parties.
Yeah, it's very girly and very feminine.
What's the best runway that you've seen so far?
It's actually one of those looks that has come out mainly from the street, really. There haven't been too many versions of it on the runway. I think Topshop, again, has kind of brought it back. Mm-hmm. There's this particular Topshop tea dress that everyone's been wearing on Instagram. But yeah, it's just one of those things because it's kind of like a spring slash summer classic, you know? So it's not necessarily kind of a runway trend.
V-neck.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's quite flattering mm-hmm. On quite a few different body shapes because, you know, it accentuates the waist and it's quite clingy, but it's also, it's got like a flowy kind of A-line skirt. So it's quite forgiving, but also quite flattering.
So what kind of like trend colors would you go for? Or patterns?
I would go for, you know, the florals are always big for summer. And then we've spoken about this before, that kind of really retro florals. So like mm-hmm. the 60s florals and like the different kind of really specific decade-led florals. But I mean, if you're not a floral person, you can go with like geometric patterns. Polka dots, we've spoken about polka dots recently. Just general like bright, fun colours. It's a very kind of, yeah, summery look.
How would you wear it?
I would wear it personally with sneakers just to like tone down the girliness. But I know that like a very classic look is to wear like a tea dress with wedges mm-hmm. that kind of like very like, or espadrilles, something very casual and yeah, weekendy. If you want to make it a bit smarter, I would pair it with like your simple strappy sandals, like block heels, things like that, and keep your accessories quite sleek. But I think it is also like, it's not something that you can dress up too much. Like it's still quite a, it's just a, it's a fun look. So I would, you know,
no, not be relaxed, not many accessories and
yeah.
all. So would you invest in it?
If there are people who the wrap dress really, really suits, I mean, having said that, it suits a lot of different people, but some people just look amazing in it. And if you're one of those people, then yeah, I would go for it. I mean, get like a Diane von Furstenberg. But you
I
know,
want
it's
one.
Yeah. But you know, it is also something that's quite easy to recreate from high street stores. So I don't think you necessarily need to spend a lot of money on it.
That's all I have for this week. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and like our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. Or you can also download our BFM app available on Google Play or the App Store. Now I'm going to leave you with a track by Human League with Sound of the Crowd, played at Tory Burch's Spring Summer 2017 in New York. This has been Stylefile and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.